So I'm joined by Brianne Martin. She's a mechanical engineer from Dallas, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us on Inside the Petri Dish.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome to join us. And so before we get started, Tay and Vicky have given me a task to investigate the world of artificial intelligence. So first things first, what is artificial intelligence for our listeners?
Yeah, so essentially artificial intelligence is kind of learning the way that things work and then being able to predict it for future use or being able to have it learn on its own. So being able to kind of take that leap and move it forward without actually having to give it direct commands, and then again kind of just for it to grow and learn on its own.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and your work in artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so actually I'm an advanced manufacturing engineer in the automotive industry. And so a lot of times we don't think about artificial intelligence being able to be applicable there, right? Because we just think of manufacturing and, you know, tools and actually turning rivets or guns at, you know, something to put stuff together. But again, kind of at the root of artificial intelligence is literally just the computer systems of being able to perform tasks and not require human intelligence to be able to do so. So in the world of, you know, trucking or, again, automotive, putting together the skeleton, again, we have robots that do it for us. So we just have to, again, essentially treat it, tell it, give it commands, but then from there it kind of grows to learn, oh, if I'm doing this particular sequence, then that's what I'm going to choose versus us telling it every single time, okay, this is this truck or this is this wall that's going up, this is this option that's added. It kind of starts learning based off of, you know, again, the commands of what it was doing and the option that was given it to.
So is that kind of where we see the robotic arms moving the car parts around and assembling the cars? Is that kind of what I'm picturing is what you're involved with?
Absolutely. And then multiple robots for multiple tasks. So even that, again, we talk about just putting the walls together, the frame or skeleton of your car or vehicle, but also like visual perception, again, making those decision points. So right now we don't actually even put in the windshield itself. There's a robot that reads visually where the windshield is and does it for us.
That's amazing. So does there tend to be more mistakes with human? Is there more human error, or does there tend to be more mistakes with robots, or are they the same?
Yeah, I would say it kind of just varies, because again, if you have a human that just doesn't learn from mistakes, it kind of repeats the same thing. Very similarly, if you have a robot and the computer program doesn't learn from its mistakes, it's very similar. Or even that, sometimes you have a superb human that they make one mistake and it never happens again, and vice versa. Sometimes the robot and computer just works really well. And so it is kind of just varying, because no computer is the same, no program is the same, just like no human and even learning opportunity is the same as well.
Yeah, because I suppose one of the aspects of our AI, I suppose, in terms of why Tay and Vicky are interested in me exploring this realm, I suppose, is people's fear of it. And, it's the fear of it taking our jobs and stuff like that. So I suppose there's no, if they're just as likely to make a mistake as humans, there's that, you know, well, is it as likely to take their job? So we also see artificial intelligence in terms of the automotive industry in like driverless cars as well and stuff like that, all these exciting opportunities. And again, it's just how we put information into a program and it learns from it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So even again, like the definition itself is just the theory of development of computer systems to be able to perform tasks that normally would require like human intelligence. So something again, like as visual perception or speech recognition, or again, even that decision-making points, you know, again, a human can say, oh, that's not good. But again, based now where we're creating these robots to be able to read, oh, something's offline, I can't put it in. It's, you know, same thing as, you know, again, a human would usually say, hey, this part is off, or, you know, something's not lining up, I can't move forward with the next process that's required.
So how prevalent are these robotic sort of AI processes in the automotive manufacturing industry?
Yeah, majority of automotive, you know, again, industries use it because, again, it's just so necessary at this point with, you know, the, like you said, autonomous vehicles now coming up, or even electrical vehicles. You know, it's just we have to keep up with the market and to continue to push out new, innovative, you know, more exciting vehicles. Everyone wants a new car all the time, or a new truck, or, you know, it's kind of just the next level. So we have to start pushing out more product. And in turn, again, we're asking, you know, more demand from the people that are working. And again, even that, there's only so much someone can do. So we just need the support and assistance of robots to the point where, like you said, a lot of people are getting nervous or scared about it. But in turn, that only gives us more an opportunity to be intelligent. And how do we utilize that? So it's not just someone pushing the button for the robot. Essentially, again, with artificial intelligence, it doesn't need to be told. You just send it in the program once, it learns and can start making decision bases off of that. But now, again, as humans, now we're allowed to kind of think outside the box and be creative and think of the next thing to come up with, or how we can apply these robots, or even, again, that artificial intelligence to a new theory, a new process, a new idea. So, again, we as humans can continue to grow and expand. And as our artificial intelligence continues to grow and keep up and we start utilizing it more, it's only an opportunity for both of us to grow together.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because cars have come on, you know, cars are completely different to what they used to be. And so they're becoming a lot more technological and a lot more user-friendly and have all these interfaces and things like that. And it's only going to get more, you know, technological as time goes on. So the actual manufacturing side of things will take a lot less, I suppose, brain power than what's needed to design these new systems for cars. So maybe that's where humans will be involved, whereas the robots will be in more of the, I suppose, manual labor side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of our manual labor has been taken off of the actual humans that work in our plant, versus actually, like you're saying, having the people step up and do it. So again, it's an opportunity for people to learn about coding and, you know, be in charge of the robots or continue to grow. And again, as I just want to say, an applicable resource and how we utilize them, because now a lot of that manual labor is being freed up because, again, the robots are taking over that. In automotive, we see it as the structural or the frame or beginning phases, whereas more of the decision-making points towards the end are still continue as a part of the process, or again, the actual manual labor to still verify for the quality checks and services that need to be done.
So we've touched on it throughout our discussion, is this fear of artificial intelligence and how the public perception can be a little bit dubious towards its integration into our everyday life. And I think what often comes up for a lot of scientific discussions is fear, and how to overcome that is communicating with people and sharing what's going on. And I know that you're really passionate about science communication, talking to people about science. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Brianne C. Martin, like you mentioned earlier. I'm also known as the people engineer. I call myself that, and it just kind of even became a thing where people would just say, well, you're really great with people. But because essentially, you know, people are limitless resources of learning, right? So many people have different experiences, different perceptions, obviously why diversity is so important. But the more I would just take the time to listen to people and be an active listener versus sharing my own ideas or giving a direction, the more I kind of started educating myself. And then even that, bringing people together to solve problems, to take a piece of this idea and to take a piece of somebody else's latter half of their idea and kind of mold the two, became a lot more efficient, and then everybody else was a lot more on board. So again, just taking that approach to the world of engineering, of technical problem solving, and, you know, critical thinking was a whole nother realm, because it's not just, oh, I have my engineering degree, I can tell everyone what to do, but like, how do I utilize every resource, whether it's, you know, the way a leaf looks or the way a bird flies, and how do I apply that to, again, the process of how I do things and new ideas? So I'm very open to, again, just, you never know what you're learning. You never know how you're growing. And to that point, too, like you said, a lot of people are afraid of what we don't know. In particular, being a Hispanic female engineer is very scary. Like, there are not many Hispanic female engineers. I think it's like 2%. So I want to be able to encourage people. I don't have to dress like a guy every day. I can fix my hair and wear makeup. So I'm very open about, yes, I wear work boots and get my hands dirty and turn wrenches. I enjoy that, too. But it is something that I enjoy doing. I love, you know, I'm very passionate about learning, and there's such an opportunity within any of the STEM fields. So again, engineering is a lot of fun. It's a mixture of science and math and technology, because you're applying what you're learning, observing the world around you, and coming up with new, again, innovative ideas. Creativity is absolutely a must.
Yeah, I think we often think of science or engineering or STEM subjects as being very critical thinking, problem solving, but we never talk about how creativity is so important in those processes. If you can't think outside the box, you're never going to solve a problem, are you? So having that discussion about how important creativity is in STEM subjects is really, really important. And what I loved about what you just said was your comment about dressing up in the workplace as someone that works in STEM, because and representing women, because the representation of women in STEM subjects is so low. I mean, in the UK, we have 11% of all engineers are female, which is the lowest in Europe. And the number of girls that make up engineering apprenticeships are 3%, which, if you're interested in statistics, that's essentially an anomaly, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
And so just showing that you're present, that you're working in that environment, is so incredibly valuable. You don't need to be going, I'm a woman and I'm in STEM. Just being there is so valuable. But also showcasing the different types of women that work in STEM, because I think we often think in stereotypes. So you automatically think a woman in science will be some a typical, stereotypical woman that you would think would be intelligent, which tends to be nerdy, you know, fitting in that box.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you can be fashionable and enjoy makeup and enjoy science. They're not mutually exclusive. You can do everything and still be a scientist, and you can go home and weightlift and then come into work and put makeup on and be an engineer. There's no barriers to what you can do as a woman in an industry. And I think that's amazing that you're doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Going out and talking to people is fantastic.
Yeah, and even that too. I know with so many little girls, we see celebrities and like the great life that they're living. And so many little girls, I want to be a famous singer. I want to be a famous dancer. And that's another part of, like you said, me just being myself, because, just storytelling and being a part of the SciComm community is, everyone is unique. Own right, if you will. Again, we're all just so different, just as being humans. It's really cool just to learn from one another. And I've been singing on stage since I was little. So for people to say, why didn't you go to school for music? Well, because I love engineering. It's a better paying job, more job security, and it can pay for me to have an in-house studio. So now, I'm able to buy my guitar and harmonica and my piano, no doubt about it, buy the next software and create music, like you said, after I go home from work and turning gears and, wearing safety glasses and steel-toed boots. It doesn't make me any less of a musician, and being a musician doesn't make me any less of an engineer. If anything, it helps, again, create my creativity juices, because as I'm playing a song or creating something, all of a sudden, because I took time off from thinking all the critical problems, the solution came to me, and vice versa. Sometimes I'm walking down the manufacturing plant and all of a sudden a tune pops in my head, and sometimes I'll just have to run to a corner and record it on my phone. But again, it's just that opportunity of being open to all of who I am and continuing to develop and invest in myself as a human, like you're saying, not just fitting into a specific box and feeling like I have to fill all those corners.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to end the podcast. Is I love that line that you just said about how musician doesn't make you any less of an engineer, and being an engineer doesn't make you any less of a musician, because ultimately scientists are three-dimensional people who have lives outside of their jobs, and including yourself, who works in AI during the day and in the evening goes home singing and doing your music, and that's fantastic. So thank you so much for joining me on Inside the Petri Dish, Brianne, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about your work.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's such a pleasure to have you.